Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 554, 0% Project, Staying Alive. This is our third?
Second?
No, because we did Mega Force.
Oh, my God,
and
yes.
And we did...
what was the roller skating one?
Was it
roller derby?
Roller boogie.
Yes.
So I think...
This is our third, you're
This is our third one.
I forgot about
Third
Mega,
time's a charm.
I forgot about Mega Force.
Mega Force.
I wasn't there for that one.
That
so.
Was a treat.
Sounds like a real...
Yeah, that was a good... It was a treat. I guess before we get too far afield, let's introduce ourselves so Kevin doesn't poop himself.
I know, this is Joe.
Well, no promises. This is Kevin.
too late.
This is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you choose to get your podcast. Be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check us out on the interwebs at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And you can also, our website's back up and running.
Yes.
Realspoilers.com.
We have a new revamped website where you can find all the episodes, download, listen to them, stream them from there.
So. No paywall. You can go
no
back.
No paywall.
Do we still have our other domain? What was our other domain? Dirty Pirate Hookers.
Dirty Pirate Hookers.
You know, I still own it, but I don't know if it's redirected. But yes, you know what? A quick story. So GoDaddy calls you whenever your domains are expiring.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. They had to tell you. They had to tell
they
you.
They had to call, and the guy on the line had
Is it
to
a real,
ask.
It's a real person?
Yes.
Okay.
They call you to try to get you to renew, buy other services. That's just how GoDaddy is. They're very helpful, but they're, you know, they're sellers. They try to sell you. He had to tell me that dirtypiratehookers.com was up for expiration and do I want to renew it? He said the whole thing. He said it without laughing. And I was in amazement. And I'm like,
can you imagine though?
But he
like,
probably, like, that's probably not even in the like 50th percentile for weird.
Well, there's porn websites. There's XXX websites. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be like,
but he goes, he's like, and how about this Dirty Pirate Hookers? Are you renewing that? And I just. I'm like,
sorry, can you say that again?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that, but I'm like, I'll handle that one, but thank you.
That's so good.
That's great.
Anyway, I forgot about it because it's been a while, and I think it's up for renewal again, so I'll see if I can record the phone call.
There, please do. Oh, it's so good.
So where was I at? Oh, and our Patreon, did I push that?
Not yet.
Yeah, may as well.
Join our Patreon.
There we go.
There.
Good.
Yeah, you'll have, like Kevin and I recorded a pretty extensive list of Batman the Animated Series episodes, a little bit of crossover on both sides. And I think we'll see. I've got one set up. We'll see if it actually happens. I don't want to announce who it is.
Don't jinx it.
But okay. I'm working on it.
Fingers crossed then.
Yeah.
So there's all that, I guess.
You got Travolta?
Oh, I wish that happened.
Only questions about Staying Alive?
Yes. Because I have.
Exclusive to questions.
I have a lot.
So, Staying Alive, directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Written. Produced.
Well, co-written. Yeah.
So it's written by Norman Wexler.
Starring Sylvester
who did the first
Stallone.
Movie.
Who wrote the first one.
Yeah.
And then
you saw him, right? You saw his cameo, right?
I read that he was in it. I couldn't see where it was.
Okay.
They like bump it. You must have been like playing on your phone.
It's in the very beginning.
Well,
of
I was
the movie.
Live tweeting it. Yeah. Too, because I'm like, I have to make some kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah. They're like walking on. He's like walking down the street and he, like somebody him. Bumps into him.
And he turns
around. Yeah. No dialogue. He just turns around and is like, and then he walks away.
But yeah, so this is the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
I've never seen Saturday Night Fever.
Okay, first off, you should absolutely see Saturday Night Fever.
I think I bought it. You told me it was for $5 yeah. on sale because you're like, I don't know if you own this or have never seen it, but like, it's actually worth it.
It is a great movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And I use the word great appropriately.
Oh, sure, sure.
It really is a great movie.
It is a great movie. And so the interesting thing about Saturday Night Fever is that people remember it as the disco dancing movie, right? Obviously. It's
always him on the dance floor in that white outfit doing the disco thing.
That is not what this movie is. And
is this movie like Magic Mike? Would you say that?
When we recorded Magic Mike, if you'll remember, I said,
okay,
this Magic Mike is Saturday Night Fever.
I didn't
realize. It follows the beats of Saturday Night Fever.
Oh.
And it's a similar story and themes in that it's about this guy and he's a dancer and he wants something more in life and he doesn't even have the words to verbalize that, mm-hmm. right? Like, he doesn't even understand
doesn't know what it is.
More.
Yeah, I got to tell you, he still doesn't have the words 5 years later.
But, and that, and it's also in a lot of ways, I mean, they didn't have this term at the time, but it's about toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's hanging out with this group of guys, and they're all pretty douchey. And he's starting to kind of come to the realization that these guys are douchey, and he doesn't want to be like this anymore.
Even in this bit, I'm like, Tony's a jerk.
Tony
is a D-bag.
Yeah.
But I was reading a little bit about Saturday Night Fever, and I didn't remember that from back when we recorded Magic Mike, but when I was reading about how it was a darker movie, and I saw some photos from it, and I was like, this sounds a lot like the Magic Mike storyline.
Yes, I swear I remember this slipcase. Like, I remember the picture of Travolta on the front of the slipcase.
The disco ball.
It's not even the disco ball. It's just him in the headband.
Oh, Staying Alive.
Staying Alive. And I thought it was a sci-fi movie.
But that makes sense though, because when you get to the end, the big musical number at the end, it's not sci-fi, but it's an experimental, weird sci-fi vibe.
Dante's Inferno.
Right.
But like that whole front cover is him ripped to shreds, mm-hmm. and I'll give Travolta credit. Like, that dude's in ridiculous shape this entire movie.
I've never seen John Travolta.
I've never
this
seen
ripped,
him in
like,
this shape.
Yeah.
But like that whole front slipcase is him with the headband, mm-hmm. sweaty, wearing those weird shorts, and I was like, what kind of
it looks like an 80s.
No, thank you.
It looks like a weird 80s sci-fi.
Yeah, what was
type.
That like that Zardoz. That's what it looks like. It's another weird Zardoz.
So, so just for the record, going into it not knowing anything about Saturday Night Fever other than the few things we've talked about, like, I didn't know what to expect from this movie, but apparently this story, I mean, really has nothing to do, like...
It's just the same character.
But I mean, it's a continuation of the story.
Like, he exists, but, like, you don't need to know anything about the first one.
I feel like you do, though, because, I mean... Nah, probably. I guess not. I feel like because there's fan service in this movie.
There is fan service out the wazoo.
Like, let me get out the old white suit. Like, I got that was
right. But there's more fan service.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he walks by
past that strip joint.
Yeah, where it says 2001
All Male Review.
That had been the dance club that they kept going to.
I had to believe
when
the first
he stops
one,
and looks at it. In the first one, there's a scene where he's walking along that bridge.
Yeah.
That bridge, I won't ruin it for you, but plays a very pivotal role in the film. In the first film.
Oh, sure.
So I mean, there's lots of fan, and there was more fan service that was recorded, didn't make it into the final cut. So there's his girlfriend from the first one filmed this. They wrote a scene for her, but she wouldn't do it. His dad filmed the guy who played his dad filmed a scene, but got cut. And then there's another character from the first one played by Donna Pesco.
Okay.
And apparently there's a version where you see her in the audience of the big opening night.
Oh, sure.
But she got cut as well. So I mean, they were fan servicing up the
yeah,
joint.
No kidding.
So how did Stallone get attached to direct this movie?
Rhinestone. Right? I have but to believe
no.
it was Rhinestone.
Rocky III.
Oh.
Because they've been trying to get Stallone to make this movie.
To make Staying Alive?
To make a Saturday Night Fever sequel.
Okay.
They wrote a script almost immediately following Saturday Night Fever, because, like, you cannot overstate how big that movie was.
Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
It was massive. I mean, it did $130 million at the box office domestic.
In
1977, 78.
Yeah. Man.
On a $3.5 million budget.
Jeez. That's so much money.
It did $237 worldwide.
That's so much money. What is that in 2020 dollars?
I don't even know.
Probably $300 million or something.
Yeah.
Making more money than Suicide Squad.
And
well, Birds of Prey.
Yeah, totally.
And then throw in the soundtrack.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So that was my question.
And soundtracks
were
a big deal.
Was that Bee Gees song released for this movie? Was it released before? Like,
no, they wrote the songs for the soundtrack.
And Frank Stallone said, "I'm doing the next one."
Yeah.
So Staying Alive, was Staying Alive like the big disco number in Saturday Night Fever, or where does that come into play?
Yeah, I was like, was it a disco number before?
Yeah, before Staying Alive.
I'm sorry.
So the song by the Bee Gees, does that become
the
popular?
Film. Was for which film?
Was for Saturday Night's Fever.
For Saturday Night
Fever.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I haven't seen it. So that song is in the first.
So the opening scene of Saturday Night Fever is John Travolta
doing the strut.
Walking down the street, doing the strut.
To that.
To Staying Alive.
The end of Staying Alive
is the beginning of Saturday Night Fever.
I mean,
it's an homage to the beginning of Saturday Night Fever.
It's not a prequel.
So that was my question. So they made the title based on the Saturday Night. Got it. Okay.
Because the song was so pop. But I mean, that soundtrack had six top 40 singles.
That's crazy.
Four of which went to number one.
It's, all by the Bee Gees?
No, I think More Than a Woman. I think the version that was. That went to number one was not performed by them, but they wrote it.
Okay.
It went 16 times platinum.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It sold 56 million copies worldwide. It spent, in the United States, it spent six consecutive months at number one.
Where is that in the lifeline of disco?
So
that's like towards the end, right? Like,
right.
Saturday
so
Night
disco
Fever.
Had was kind of played out. Like,
right.
When Travolta says when he agreed to make this movie, like, he actually thought it was going to be making fun of disco.
Sure.
Because, you know, he was this hot young actor. And so he was very involved in that club world. And he was like, well, disco was kind of over.
Right.
And he's like, and we made this movie, and then it was like disco never went away and was huge again. And so, but that's also part of the problem I think they had with Staying Alive, is that by the time they get around to making this movie, disco is not only done, it's a joke.
Right? Sure.
It's like trying to make a Nickelback biopic, right? Like, I mean, the cool thing was to wear shirts that said disco sucks. And like, you know, and so.
Where is the Kiss album in all of this?
I forget when that album came out.
Okay.
But I think
I feel like that's it.
Probably
that's the final nail in that coffin, is when Kiss does a disco album.
Yeah.
Well, that is so weird.
Let's not forget there was an Ethel Merman disco album.
Oh wow.
Did you ever see that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode with the monkey's paw?
Yeah.
Sure.
And they do like the Simpsons CD, and they're like, "Oh god, this is getting way out of hand." And
that's
like
funny.
That's what I think of disco, like.
Yeah. But back to Stallone, so they've been trying to get Travolta to agree to a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't know what he got paid for this. I know at one point they offered him $10 million.
In 1983?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. And
take the money,
and
bro.
He didn't like the script. He didn't, because I guess it lived more in the Saturday Night Fever world.
Sure, sure.
And he wanted him to go try and be a dancer on Broadway. And so...
So in Saturday Night's Fever, is he trying to be a professional dancer, or does he just want to dance?
He's just going into the clubs.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so they talked to him, and he was like, he had just seen Rocky 3. I think it was the one. When did Rocky 3 come out?
So
Stallone directed Rocky 2 in 79 and Rocky 3 in 82.
Okay, so it was Rocky 3.
Yeah.
And supposedly Travolta was like, if we could get something that has like the energy of Rocky 3, I would be down.
Well, that's crazy that you just said that, because this absolutely has that energy.
Well, it's from the same time period, too.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Rocky III is 82. Staying Alive is an 83.
Right.
You see how close that is. When you watch this movie, it does have that like gritty feel, but there's that certain energy about it.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so, much to his amazement,
Stallone's like, sure.
Stallone was like, I'll do it. Like, he was more just like, find somebody that can do that.
And they literally got...
And the studio wanted to make this movie so badly... And I think Stallone probably wanted to direct.
Sure.
Or direct something that wasn't his own. Like, I think he wanted to, like, I don't have to star on it to
try
direct
to get
it.
In that studio system a little bit.
Yeah. And so they got Stallone. And I
cannot believe
it's just
they
such
got
an
Stallone.
Odd fit. Like, I mean, it's not a musical, but it's about Broadway. It's about dancing.
Yeah.
And I don't go to Stallone when I think about.
Right.
The guy that knows how to. I mean, just like, I mean, Clint Eastwood's an amazing director, but his Jersey Boy movie sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's certain directors that you can be really good, but it doesn't mean you're the guy for the musicals.
Right.
And so it was amazing when I saw this movie and I knew he didn't do the first one. And I start this up and it's like directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Did you not know that until it started?
I didn't either.
I had no idea.
It's such an odd thing. You know, he directs Rocky movies. You know,
right.
He directs
Rambo
the new
movies.
Yeah, it's like, but Staying Alive. I don't know. It was weird.
He did something for Rhinestone, didn't he? He had some sort of creative.
Did he sing in it or something?
Well, he did, I thought he had some sort of creative input.
I don't remember. But like, you know, but at the same time, when you look at the guy who directed Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah,
there's nothing on his resume that would make you think he could handle a dance-driven movie.
Sure, sure.
He wrote Rhinestone.
Oh, okay. Right. All right.
I mean, the only feature film he had directed before Saturday Night Fever was the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor King.
No, I get that. Yeah. And I mean, the guys that direct Community episodes can make Marvel movies.
Totally.
Like, I totally get they can. Yeah. What I just mean is when I think of Stallone, I
want
he
this guy
in particular, I don't think of for a dancing Broadway
and I
type.
But it does have all of those Rocky elements, right? Like
right.
He's fighting from the bottom. He's trying
he's
to make it underdog.
He's down
on underdog.
His luck.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, but he's really good.
Total D-bag to women. Oh, no, sorry. That wasn't Rocky.
I was like, that was not Rocky.
I know. Yeah. That's why I'm like, God, this guy is terrible. And I'm so glad that she finally stands up for herself, because I'm like, this dude.
So
yeah,
have you seen this gal, Jackie, the girlfriend?
No.
So her entire filmography.
She's at the epicenter of 80s movie musicals.
Yes.
Oh.
80s dance movies.
Okay. She's Ashdance,
yep.
Xanadu, Dirty Dancing, Staying Alive,
and then
she's
a Toto video.
Okay.
But she's the sister that gets the abortion in Dirty Dancing.
Oh, okay.
Like, so it's just, when I'm looking at her, I was like, that's so, like, I recognize her.
I mean, I knew I recognized her, but I didn't go, oh, she's the one.
But that's
from,
that's the end of her credits. Are those 80s dance movies, you know, and that was it. Like, she kind of disappeared.
And, you know, the British lead dancer that John Travolta is tripping all over from certain angles, because I'm like, she looks familiar. And I looked her up and I couldn't really recognize her. But at certain angles, she looked like Anna Kendrick to me.
Did you ever see the late 90s Generation X TV show?
No.
So it was an X-Men TV show.
I saw the
show.
Doom Generation. Do you ever see that?
No. Oh, wait.
It's pretty cool.
The military one?
No, it's like a...
That's Generation
it's a really, it's a really independent, you know, type of gritty movie. It's called The Doom Generation.
No.
And I think it's... oh, my God. I'm blanking on the actress now. It's... who's the one that used to date Marilyn Manson and she's a big activist now? Is it not Rose McGowan?
It is Rose McGowan.
That's Rose McGowan?
Yeah. Dita Von Teese.
I'll look it up. But anyway.
The gal from, I think he also dated the gal from Westworld.
I'm going to look it up. But it's a really.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a really. Oh, it is Rose McGowan. Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. All
right. Yeah.
So it's this movie from 1995, and it's just this really gritty indie movie, and it's weird and violent at times. Have you ever seen The Doom Generation?
I have not.
Okay. So anyway. But
yeah, so like she must be a real dancer. Like that girl is
yeah,
real good.
Amazing.
And I don't think you can hire non-dancers to do this movie.
I guess that's true.
The
you know?
Dancing in this movie is excellent.
Here's
the
thing.
Dancers are excellent,
right.
But the dance,
no.
The choreography is awful.
Yes, the choreography, and again, I don't think Stallone has an eye for dance choreography, because I agree, the editing and everything, it's bad, but I mean, when you watch the dancers and their athleticism, that's what I mean, they are like...
Do you think this deserves 0%?
I don't.
Well,
no.
0% is pass-fail, so if you're under 60%,
right.
If you're at under 6 out of 10,
yeah.
You get a 0. So I this movie like, deserves maybe a 4 or 5, which is middle of the road, and that's rotten. But that's
But I think you also have to remember it's coming off of
the biggest.
That's fair.
A cultural phenomenon.
Yeah,
a movie that was great. I mean, it was truly a great movie.
Yeah,
and I mean, Travolta was nominated for an Oscar. Like,
where is that in his career?
I believe it was
right after Vinnie Barbarino.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. Absolutely. Welcome Back, Cotter. Welcome Back, Cotter is on the air. They had to close down the sets when they filmed that outside New York, and they would film really early in the morning because people kept coming to see him film. Because
film Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever because
of Welcome Back,
because
Cotter.
He was such a big star because of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Mr. Cotter.
Hey. I don't know that it was his first movie.
I guess Bubble Boy? The Boy in the Bubble?
That was a made-for-TV movie. Yeah. But I don't know that this was his first feature film, but it was definitely his first starring role. Yeah.
Can we talk about how... Has there ever been an actor that got 2 bites at the apple and messed it up both times?
Probably. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure. But, I mean, like, can you think of one? I feel like Travolta is the as a prime example.
Pulp Fiction gave him
Marlon Brando. But did he mess it up? Did he ever like fumble it again?
I mean,
he's pretty lazy.
He was
in his
huge
movies.
In the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And then his
came
career
back.
Was in the toilet.
Okay.
And then he came back with Godfather.
And he did the Island of Dr. Moreau.
And then after, and then, you know, he did a cash grab on Superman.
Yeah.
But after Godfather, I mean, what great work has
and
he
was just like,
he
yeah,
do?
He's like, you know, and he didn't memorize his lines
Don
and
Juan.
He was drunk. Yeah. And,
I mean, and he was okay in that.
Right.
But, yeah.
But he was problematic. I mean, yeah. he didn't. Care.
I guess that's true.
I guess
I just feel like Travolta's career is in the toilet.
Yeah.
And then Tarantino puts him in Pulp Fiction and it brings him right back.
Absolutely.
And he's a mainstay. Like that dude was front and center.
And he does Battlefield Earth.
And that's
which
it.
Which is apparently based on real life.
It's Scientology.
Right?
It's
Scientology
that's
based
on L. Ron Hubbard stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And then he does like the Fred Durst movie.
Dude,
like,
I will tell you what,
happening?
If you have not what the hell's that
Frantic?
Thing called? No, that's the old title.
Oh,
Moose or something?
Oh, it's listed as
is
Frantic.
It Frantic?
Yeah.
Maybe it was called Moose originally based on the character name. I didn't even... It's Fan? The Fan? No, Fan something?
I think it's Frantic.
I don't think... No.
Phantom?
Yeah, I know he was in something called Fan or The Fan.
Like, because, like, I know there's the Wesley Snipes The Fan.
Which is great.
But it's...
It's really not great.
I think it's called Fan or something. Yeah. But anyway, John Travolta is in this movie directed by Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst, who's been... If you wonder where he's been making Russian propaganda videos.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's what he's been doing. He was working for the Russian government.
Man, West Borland's going to be pissed. I came back to this band for this.
But this movie is so wackadoo. It is so crazy. I had the best time watching it. Like,
are you serious?
Yes, because it's horrible. But you're watching John Travolta, this legendary actor who has had all these great roles. And he's doing this insane role as Moose. And it is so crazy. Please watch it.
It's
free on Netflix.
It's on Prime, I think.
Or is it on Prime?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, do yourself a favor and watch this movie.
That's crazy pants.
Yeah.
So I just think it's interesting to look at his career and how, you know, he's in Face Off. And actually,
I love Face
Off. So that Travolta is my jam.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like The General's Daughter, Basic, Face Off.
I liked him in Grease.
I mean, that's fine. But I mean, like, this is the... I mean, this next...
That's, like, the first time I think I saw him. I thought he was really good in Grease.
Yeah, no, but that's the old Travolta.
Oh,
like, that
that's
like,
the, I see.
I prefer the resurgent Travolta over...
Oh, sure. That's your wheelhouse. I mean, that's when we grew up. It's like Pulp Fiction. I mean...
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, it's a perfect role, right? Like,
but what else did he was doing? Michael, right? About the angel.
The phenomenon.
Yeah, he was doing those kind of movies. I'm trying to think of
that's
what else.
That's when he had that, like, Superman mullet.
I always picture him on the cover of that VHS. With the long hair.
Spoilers. No, I'll leave it.
Yeah.
but in the 70s and early 80s, he was having a hell of a run.
Look who's talking.
Well, that was actually kind of a mini comeback for him.
Oh, okay.
Because it's pre Pulp Fiction, but he hadn't been in a hit in a long time.
Sure.
And then he made a Talking Baby movie,
right.
And it was a huge
hit. Is it Kirstie Alley?
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis was the voice of the baby.
Oh.
Yeah. And the story's been that Demi Moore started to get Tom Cruise started to pull in Demi Moore into Scientology on the set of A Few Good Men, and Bruce Willis, who had worked with
punched him in the face
with Kirstie Alley,
is Kirstie Alley a Scientologist?
Yes.
Oh,
who had worked with Kirstie Alley and John Travolta
on Look Who's Talking was like, no, you're not.
Oh, man.
Like, he's like, I've seen it up close. No, we're not doing this.
He tried to get away, right? Isn't that the deal?
Travolta?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think he tried.
Cruz and him were big guys.
Who?
That.
Oh, Cruz.
Cruz and him are big guys. Yeah. I never.
I think he tried to break away, and they were like,
I dare you. Yeah.
I dare you to try to break away. He's like, okay.
Here's the list of things we've done for you.
By the way, you know that story that everybody talks about that nobody can confirm? Here's the confirmation. Stay where you are.
We forgot about it. Get Shorty.
Oh, for sure. That's a great movie.
So you kind of forget. I mean, you see these movies, and then you see the resurgence and the stuff he did and how great he was, and that's why that The Fanatic. That makes sense.
But he was on a run of, at the beginning of these, like, music-driven movies.
Sure.
I mean, he had Saturday Night Fever.
Grease.
He had Grease. Yeah. He had Urban Cowboy.
Definitely. I read the description out loud for Urban Cowboy, and Leanne's like, can you read that last part again? And I was like, he's going to tame a mechanical bull? And she was like, okay.
And Urban Cowboy wants to be a country and western Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, really?
But it's
Does
actually
he gyrate on the bull?
It's actually not bad. Like, it's not great, but like it is still one of those kind of 70s slice of life movies. Like Saturday Night Fever is definitely more in the vein of those. I mean, of like, I don't know, a Mean Streets or a Serpico. It's dirty.
Really?
It's dirty New York. It's slice of life. And then all of a sudden there are these musical numbers, and when they go to the club and you see the dancing, is easy as it is to make fun of disco music and disco dancing, like those scenes have a vitality is just never even approximated in Staying Alive.
I miss this New York, like the New York that we see in this movie.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't want to go to that New York.
No, absolutely. I would want nothing to do. When he's washing his clothes in the shower, I was like, ugh, no, thank you.
But like, this is the dirty, like, before New York was revitalized.
It's like
this
right
tourist
before.
Destination.
Yeah.
This is like that dark, criminal.
This is Gotham City.
This is Gotham City, New York. Exactly.
Not Metropolis. I guess we should get into this. So basically,
he was in Carrie?
Yeah, he's the boyfriend. Yeah.
That's right. So he did have a movie role before.
Yeah, he was the boyfriend of Carrie. Carrie's boyfriend, but the one that sets her up.
Yeah.
It goes Carrie, the boy in the plastic bubble TV, and then Saturday Night Fever, then Grease.
Okay.
One after another.
Man, those are some big movies.
Mm-hmm. And also, he's still in that time frame, right? He's still doing.
Did he do something else with De Palma?
Yeah, he did Blowout.
Yes.
So I'm like, he's still stopping and doing kind of like,
ooh, that's got Nancy Allen in it.
Edgier, like cooler, grittier work.
Blowout's a good movie.
Yeah, but if you see Saturday Night Fever, you will also see that it is gritty, edgy work.
Yeah.
It just also has disco songs.
Sure. They just added Raising Kane to Netflix.
Chicken tenders?
No.
Will deliver them?
What a bonkers.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
What is you've that? Never. So it's
John Lithgow, right?
John Lithgow, Brian De Palma, who must have been coked out of his head. Like, and I can't tell you what it is because it will give me.
Okay.
That's the De Palma thing, right? Like, if I tell you,
I'll have to check that out.
Okay. It is a cocaine fueled, bonkers, bonkers movie.
Okay.
So this one picks up with Travolta doing...
It's 5 years later.
5 years later, so, you know, I guess they've kept up with the time is pretty close.
Yeah, because the movie's 6 years later, but
right.
The timeline's 5 years
and
later.
Like, there's no disco at this point.
No, right, he's trying out for Broadway, like Broadway dancing, and I was like, oh, man, Kurtwood Smith's in this movie.
As soon as he popped up, let's do this.
And then I was like, oh, no, he's never coming back.
What a random thing is the choreographer. Yeah, first scene of the movie. I'm like, it's Red Foreman?
Yeah. That's where I went. But I was like,
it's the guy from RoboCop. Yeah, of course.
And he doesn't get the job. Like, he's too all over the place. He's got too much energy. He's too good. And Travolta's
really good at dancing. Like, he can dance.
Oh, my God.
Travolta in this movie.
So you guys don't remember... Yeah. When Pulp Fiction came out, how excited people were
to see him dance again,
to see Travolta dance again. Like, that was,
he barely dances,
which
though.
He's not even like, he's like,
he just does the twist,
gyrating
but
around.
Still, like, it was like, oh my God, Travolta. Because then, like, after this, I guess he does one that's, he does a movie after this called Perfect.
Okay.
That stars him and Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're, and it's about the world of aerobic instructors.
Yes, so there are GIFs all over the place from that where he is like humping the air.
Yeah, and so there is dancing in that, but after that, like, you really don't get the dancing Travolta anymore.
Yeah.
And so I do think people don't forget, or younger people like under 45 don't realize like how good of a dancer.
Sure. I never knew. I mean, you know, of course I've seen Grease, but that doesn't require a ton of dancing. Not like this.
Right.
And like, he is in top tier 1% of athletic dancing shape. Like, he is in amazing.
He's ripped to shreds.
He spent six months training for this movie.
I believe
He looks like a dancer. He has a dancer's body. He moves like a dancer. I mean, I've seen a lot of, you know, musicals and Broadway shows. And I mean, the way he moves, I had no idea Travolta could do this like this. He's a like authentic.
Yeah.
Oh, totally, totally,
and,
totally.
And like in Saturday Night Fever, it's like Saturday Night Fever's so great because so much of what's going on isn't explicitly said, right?
Yeah,
it
right.
lets you arrive at these conclusions. But one of what makes it kind of sad is he's great at this, and nobody really realizes how great he is at it. Like even he doesn't ultimately, but like, you know, like, there's a scene deep in the movie where his brother, who's a priest, who's leaving the priesthood, comes to see him dance at the club, and he's just like, holy Christ, like, what the hell was that? Like, you're an amazing dancer. And like, no, and you realize, like, nobody in his family
believed in him.
Has any, that, not even they don't believe in him, they don't even know. They got no clue. In their mind, he's just going out to the bar chasing girls, and he's also doing that.
Sure.
But that,
I picked up on that.
But that he's like this amazing dancer, and like when he goes into a club, like, he owns it. People are like
circle around him,
like, people are like, oh my god, Tony's gonna dance.
Oh,
and like,
okay,
and they're like just wigging out over it. And like, it, and this movie Staying Alive does this thing that like seems ridiculous in this movie, but in Saturday Night Fever they pull it off, which basically like
where he has to strut,
every woman wants him. Right. Yeah. And like the women almost treat the women in Staying Alive treat him the way men treat women. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I just want you for sex. I'm just going to use you for sex.
It was interesting when it turned around like that, because you don't generally see that.
Yeah.
Especially in this time period.
Right.
I thought it was really weird to see him used. But to your point, is that kind of like what they did with the casting agencies, how they all just didn't give him the time of day, where he's like, I can do this, I can do this and that.
Yeah.
And they're like, not interested.
Cool.
They're on the phone. They're doing paperwork. You know, they kind of turn, everyone's turning him away, but he's really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He's the dog, right? Like, it's the Rocky thing.
But also some of the problem is he's good, but he hasn't gone through the system. So he doesn't know, you know, I kind of took it as he doesn't know the name of the steps. And he doesn't know the move. And so it's like, so he has this natural ability, but he doesn't have any of the, of like the school learning
dancing
to kind of turn it into anything. And so people, they don't know what to do with him because he has natural talent, but he doesn't have a knowledge of dancing in the same way that all these other people do.
I gotcha.
So he's at this severe disadvantage, and it's a shame.
Where he can outdo them, but he can't outsmart them.
Right. Yeah. And it's a shame because it's like they're somewhere in all this. There's a good story to be told.
I think so.
You know,
I don't like, I honestly like sitting when we posed this choice to the viewers and the listeners, I was like, God, I don't want to watch any of these.
Yeah.
And when this one got chosen.
I mean, it was
picked,
chosen.
Picked.
Selected.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, fine. 8 minutes in, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, like, I am into, like, let's do this.
This movie isn't that bad, and it's very of the time. But also, when I was watching this movie, well, not really, but also, but I mean, when I was watching this movie, my first thought was, we should have done that robot movie. Like, as far as a movie that looks bonkers. And because, like, I mean, this is just a very of its time. And there are lots of problems with it. And it's not a great movie.
Right.
But,
and I think the reason it's at 0% again is the critics came to this from Saturday Night Fever.
Sure,
that's a
tough
act to follow.
It is a very tough act to follow. And it's a dark and gritty movie. And this is none of that.
Right.
And Rocky III compared to Rocky I is not. You can see the same thing, right? Rocky I in the 70s, dark and gritty. Rocky III in the 80s.
Very different.
Very different.
Very different.
It's bordering on a Saturday morning cartoon. But you had Rocky II to bridge it.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
That's
and,
fair.
And you don't have anything to bridge this.
Yeah, you go from dark and gritty to cartoon.
And they can't lean on disco songs because disco's dead. Nobody wants that.
So they get...
Honestly, it's...
it's Frank Stallone.
And the Bee Gees are back. The Bee Gees have five new songs, but they're not disco songs.
Yeah.
And
I didn't recognize any of them but Staying Alive.
Yeah, none of them were hits.
That was the problem was first of all, you know, and as I was tweeting,
I recognize that first song.
Well, that first song I think has been repurposed in movies as kind of a joke, but it got to number 10 on Billboard. Okay. I mean, it did okay.
But it wasn't like that first movie.
No.
And like so I'm watching this. Yeah.
And it does. It does.
And I'm watching this and I'm like, are they going to play Staying Alive?
Yeah.
Like they made you wait for the entire movie.
But here's the thing. What does that remind you of?
Saturday Night or
no. Go to the Stallone catalog. It's the Rocky theme in Creed.
Oh yeah, they had
don't
earned,
get
they,
it till
they tried
the
to
end.
Earn it.
They tried to earn it, and like, and that opening scene of Saturday Night Fever is him strutting down the street.
Yeah,
and it's so weird. Like, if you watch those two scenes, like I watch these two movies pretty much back to back, and that first scene, I've talked about this before. Like, there are every once in a while in a movie, there's a moment where someone enters a scene as an actor and leaves a scene
as a movie star.
Sure. Right. Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours when he goes into that redneck bar and plays cop, like he goes in as the guy from SNL and he walks out a goddamn movie.
Will Smith punching that alien.
Mm-hmm. And him strutting down the street in the opening credits of Saturday Night Live.
That was it.
Or Saturday Night Fever. That is
really that instantly just,
and like, I don't even know how or why. Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
you gotta have
it. That song starts. I mean, and he's aided by the song, right? Like this classic all-time great song starts.
Sure.
And it's this driving song that like just makes you want to move.
And he's got the swagger.
Do they focus?
It's interesting. I'm thinking of like what else that happened to.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt. In almost the exact same style of scene, where he's just dancing down the toilet. I have to believe that's a sort of homage to Saturday Night Fever.
That sets the tone for his character.
And it's him walking down the street for good chunks of it. You don't even see him, right? You see his feet. Focus on his feet.
They stare at his ass
and
for
his
half
junk.
Of the time in this movie at the end.
It's just like, let's look at his ass and then let's look at his junk. Ass, junk.
They're like, we made you wait for the entire movie.
And what's so weird is that in that first scene, Travolta's, I mean, he's in a hit show, but in the grand scheme of things, he's kind of a nobody.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And in this movie, when he gets to his strut,
he's a somebody.
He's a movie star.
Right.
And his strut doesn't work near as well as when he was a nobody.
The end of this movie feels laughable. It's not earned.
Like, well, and we should, because I want to get to that.
Yeah. It is laughable.
Because it's very funny.
So he's trying out and he doesn't make it and he has to go back to work at the bar. It's funny to watch him use his dance moves
at
the bar.
Watch out, you dancers, as I walk with the drinks through the dance floor. Oh, you bumped into me, you jerk.
When he drops beers, I was like, yeah, dude.
Why are you walking through the dance floor? Like, and don't get mad if someone's dancing next to you.
And he ends up like talking to the bartender. He's like, you going to where so-and-so?
This dude.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's so good. And then we see the two gals at the bar.
He's like, what are you doing?
And he's like, I can't go with you. You party too hard. Yeah. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
He keeps asking him all these questions.
The other gal that doesn't really say anything is the first pair of boobs I ever saw like on screen.
Which movie?
She was in Just One of the Guys. She's the girl. So that's the whole premise of that movie.
Oh, you talked about it. Group of.
She gets like to prove that like inequality is a thing. She starts, she goes to this. I think she goes to like a new school.
Okay.
And she becomes one of the guys and she falls in love with one of the guys, and the guy's like, ugh, no. She's like, no, I'm a girl, and like opens her shirt.
Oh,
and I was, and
that's one way to prove it, I guess.
It was an HBO movie. I was like, whoa. And then he's just like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And he just walks away, and this is where we see his girlfriend, Jackie, I think is the character's name.
Yeah, it's Cynthia Rhodes,
right? And she's all about
him. The one that was in Dirty Dancing and Flashdance.
Yeah, she's the. I mean, it sucks that's how her biggest role is the sister that gets the abortion in Dirty Dancing, and so she like they're a thing, and he ends up sleeping with her. Like, you know, he's like, I gotta
he gets up in the morning. He's like, I gotta make something happen today.
Well, yeah, they're clearly dating or are a couple.
They're a steady couple.
Yes. It's not like they're on their first date. Like they're very much.
And
so.
Actually, I think they have good chemistry together. Like that whole scene where she's like, it's the last night of the show. Are you coming? And he's kind of teasing her a little bit. And he's like, of course I'm gonna be there.
They do have good chemistry. And he's a douchebag.
Yeah, he's a total douchebag. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
He has this girlfriend. I mean, she is his girlfriend. And they are an item and they do things well together. And then he's like, he sees another woman and he instantly.
Leanne goes, I don't think, like, he's just going to sleep around? And I was like, yeah. She's like, man, thank goodness that they don't know anything about AIDS. And I go, it's 83.
Yeah.
Like, they know about AIDS.
They didn't have AIDS in the first one.
Right.
Yeah. They got AIDS in the first one. Especially in the community of Broadway dancers.
Yes. In New York.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Yeah,
like, that's like, she's like, boy, I hope you wore a rubber. Just like, that's what we're taking away from this?
In the first one, he's like this. However,
he's not in a relationship.
He's not in a relationship.
That's the difference.
And like, there's a scene like Donna Pascal plays this girl who's like really into him and wants to dance with him and wants to sleep with him.
Right.
And she's basically just putting it up on a platter.
Uh-huh.
And he makes her his dance partner briefly. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to sleep with you because we spend so much time together dancing. And then if I slept with you, it'd be like we're boyfriend, girlfriend. And we're not going to do that. And he's just like, you're not my thing. And her storyline is awful. It's a good movie. What happens is awful.
Sure.
But like, he's very matter of fact. Like, he's not making any promises, and
he's not leading them on, like in this scenario,
right? And he meets this other girl who is who he feels like she works in Manhattan, and he feels like she knows what's going on in the world. And
so it's kind of the same.
Yeah, there's similar beats, but he comes to realize that she doesn't know as much as she thinks she does.
Oh, sure.
And that she's been kind of leading him on in terms of what she knows, and that's kind of eye opening for him.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of like this element of like he sees her as like, oh man, you can do more in this life,
right?
And I want to go do that. And so, like I said, kind of where this starts as a storyline,
kind of similar,
could work.
Oh,
right?
Sure, yeah.
And but it just, it falls.
The
it goes
fact,
off the rails.
Like, he keeps making promises to pick his girlfriend
that
up
is some scummy,
and go date, and he just doesn't show up.
Right,
no call, no whatever. And then she keeps taking him back, and even she says later, "I love you so much."
I can accept that. Because, I mean, we all know somebody like that, right?
But,
like, we all know somebody who's not in a good relationship. And once you think they've gotten out, homeboy or homegirl gets their claws back into them and they come right back.
Okay, but it doesn't make it right.
I'm just saying,
like, he walks all over. I know that it's kind of playful, but he hasn't shown up to any of her shows.
Right.
Because he is jealous. He's not in a show and she is.
No, he does. He's there at the last performance.
I know, he's
at the bar with her singing.
I know, but that's the problem. He wasn't at any of her shows till the last performance,
and
she kind of guilted him into it. Like, I honestly don't think he was going to go to the last show.
And as soon as he shows up at the bar, he's like, you better not be sleeping with that guitar player.
With Frank Stallone.
That was after he just slept with the other girl.
That was pretty bad.
That was real bad.
And he completely misread that situation because he's worried about Frank Stallone when the other guy in the band is Richie Sambora.
I know.
That's who you got.
I said that. And I was like, don't worry about Frank Stallone. It's the guy. It's the other guy you got to worry about.
Richie Sambora is going to go to town.
But so that scene got one of my biggest laughs of the movie, right? So he goes to the performance.
Guitar just like looking at him.
Yes. So like Travolta walks into this little bar. She's singing, doing her thing. He sees her. They exchange glances and she just jumps off stage in the middle of a song. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then they have that exchange where he's like, you better not be sleeping with that guy. And the camera cuts back and he's just like, like just eyeballing her the whole time.
I told John, I'm slapping the bass. He looks like he's just like,
oh my God.
It's so crazy.
And Leanne and I both, so she like just walked in. She's like, what are you watching? And I was like, oh, I got to watch this for the show. And she sits down. She's like, what are we doing? And I was like, we're watching Saturday Night or Staying Alive.
For some reason, it does suck you in.
It does. I was in.
Yeah.
Like I said, 8 minutes in, I was like, yeah, let's go.
It's not good, but it sucks you in.
But so, yeah.
But not knowing Tony from the first movie, everything he does in this movie made him so unlikable to me.
He's unlikable until he goes to see his mom. And then he tries to turn it around.
Yeah.
And he does, though. Like, you can't. He does apologize to Jackie.
Yeah.
He tries to make things right with her.
Only after he had already screwed things up and realizes the other girl's not interested in him.
Okay, but the other girl does end up coming on to him.
And he shoots her down.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just that. But that's that typical, you did this to me, now I'm going to
There's a little bit of there, but he doesn't. He could have made a move, and he doesn't. He stays with Jackie.
Yeah, so in the end,
which I
got to
tell you, that's who I would have gone with, personally.
But I just, he's so unlike when he's such a terrible boyfriend, and it was the whole double
you get to the end and he kisses her on stage, and Jackie's like, what the hell was that?
That was almost the end of the movie. Was that a good move?
And she, no, that's a terrible
almost
move.
The end of the movie, the thing, and they're in a Broadway show. He's like, don't like each other.
It didn't mean nothing.
And then he tells his girlfriend, who he's just made up with, that, that kiss didn't mean anything.
And
that's
she's
not
like, okay.
Scripted or anything. Like, yeah, it's, he's a terrible person.
I thought the director of this play was the guy from.
You mean not Kenny Loggins?
No, I was thinking not the guy from Ghostbusters, where he's like, yes, it's true. This man has no penis.
The EPA guy?
Yes, who I can't think of that guy's name.
Yeah. I'm blanking on it, too.
But that's who I was like, not that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, also
he's
not
also
Kenny
Rogers. He's also Professor Hathaway in Real Genius.
Mm. That actor?
The EPA guy.
Oh, yeah. He's also the news reporter in Die Hard.
Right. Like he plays like a
jerk.
A trilogy of douchebags.
Yeah, right. He sees the actor, like the main star. He goes upstairs and fires on the, and gets in with her. Like, you know, she tells him
of
an audition.
She first puts him in his place. Like, she's this British, like,
posh,
the lead dancer of this Broadway show. She obviously knows she's talented, and she keeps shutting him down, which I thought was great. And she closes the door
until
in his
face. Doesn't.
But then the next day at tryout, she shows up.
Right. And he gets the part. And of course, I like that he is so insecure in his own abilities that he goes to his girlfriend, Jackie, and is just like, did you do something for the good? Did you tell him to hire me? And they're like,
I know.
No.
It's like he's so concerned about it. He doesn't want anyone to put in a good word for him.
But the other girl definitely did.
Yeah. Clearly, that's why
that's
exactly.
But like, so you ask the one girl who probably has no clout whatsoever. But the gal,
but she made it in the show. She was chosen.
But when you're sleeping with the main star, and then you all of a sudden get the part,
and when you're looking for your first big break,
asking favors.
You don't care if somebody puts in a word.
Hell no.
Yeah.
But this is just one of those times again, though, where she shows up at the rehearsal and they end up going out. He makes plans with Jackie, the girlfriend,
and ditches her
to sleep with the other girl.
And then he calls it. He's like, "What time is it?"
Yeah. She's after he sleeps with her and she kicks him out of the hotel room or whatever, he's like, "Hey, you got anyone in your bed next to you?
Is there a vacancy?"
Like,
and she's she goes, "Yeah."
He's so insecure and so terrible.
But then he never makes. I was like, "Yeah, that's an opening. That's what that is." She's like, "That's her."
Does he go over there?
No. She hangs up the phone. He's like, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow." Oh. And they hang up the phones.
So he was just being insecure.
Yes,
I just slept with another woman. Right. I'm checking to make sure you're alone at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, booty calls were a lot harder back then.
You gotta get to a payphone.
Yeah.
You gotta hope they wake up.
You gotta
call them at 3 a.m.
Why did she have a nightstand
with
her phone's
on
the
floor? 70s, 80s, early 80s, late 70s were a weird time. So then he starts. He starts at the company, and things aren't working smoothly.
What is this called? The Broadway show is called Devil's...
Satan's Alley. Satan's Asshole.
Which is like
the
code word
the devil's
for,
vagina.
That's like code word for butt sex. Like
it?
It's asshole. Yeah, Satan's. It's
it
like
is?
A yeah. That's. I mean, it's just like a slang term or whatever. What do you call that?
Is it just slang term in your house?
Colloquialism.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's like one of those like Urban Dictionary. Type.
Oh,
I
sure,
know,
sure.
I've
sure.
never heard it.
That's a new one to me.
Well, I looked up the show to
I know
see if
what
it was
the,
based
I,
on anything real.
I know.
And
what the,
I got Urban Dictionary as the first result.
I know that's what the funny. Devil's three-way is, but that's...
Yeah, no, but that's the first thing that popped up.
Or?
Two dudes.
No, I'm saying, do you know firsthand?
Oh, that's neither here nor there. So he starts the show, and the director is pretty much a slave driver. He's like, "You suck. You all suck." And go on.
This guy's such a dick.
He's such a dick.
I'm like, why is Kenny Loggins so mean to them?
But I guess he's trying to hook up with the lead gal, too.
I took it as like they,
or they do
already
hook up?
Are
I think
thing.
So. Well, I wonder how she got the part.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Hollywood, Broadway.
You see her.
Well, and it's also like after Chorus Line, that's a pretty common story. Like,
oh,
plot
sure,
point.
sure.
But yeah, it's very clear that she's she kind of, she's not interested in a relationship with any of these people. And no, it seems like she works to her advantage. She takes what she wants.
She's got the rich guy on the hook. She's got the producer.
The director
on the hook. She even says, everybody uses everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah. And then he comes with like, yeah, everybody uses everybody.
But what's so weird is he's in this relationship with Jackie.
So weird.
And he's screwing her over, you know, and ignoring her. And then he sleeps with this girl one time and he thinks they're going steady.
Yeah, I know. Right, I just
don't understand why he thought they were in a serious relationship when all he did was, and she's like, you approach me, which he does. He hits on her,
right.
Wants to sleep with her. And then like the next day he's crying about it.
Right. So basically we've got like 10 minutes left.
They dance. Okay.
That's pretty much it. But like, so things fall apart. Like she invite like the lead gal at Leah. Maybe that's the actress's real name. Anyway, like the lead gal invites him to this party.
Jackie. No,
Jackie's the girlfriend.
Oh, Laura is the
Laura.
Dancer.
Yeah. Invites him to this party and he keeps standing up Jackie. He does keep screwing Jackie over.
Second time around.
Constantly.
She says, hey, can I pick you at nine?
Yeah.
And then he's leaving and she sees this interaction between them because she hasn't turned the corner yet.
Right.
And she's like, I'm having a party. I want you there. And let's put all that in the past of our fight. And she's like, it starts at 10.
Right.
And I'll see you there.
He said he'd be at Jackie's at
and you
nine.
See him show up and it's like an hour past.
Rocking the white suit from Saturday Night's Fever.
Fan service. He's like going to pull out his white suit.
Right. Not a black shirt, but wearing like that.
Yeah.
It's also interesting. Lee and I were both talking about like the style in this movie. Jackie's style, like her clothing style, is today.
Really?
Like the high waisted tight jeans.
Yeah,
the
that's
boots,
back in style.
Oh, it's like it's back in style now.
Because this is very 80s.
Very
80s. Yeah. I mean,
but like,
but so are high waisted jeans. Yeah.
High waisted jeans and those tall, like knee high boots.
Right? Isn't that what they call them? Like those are popular now.
Yeah.
Like on Instagram, young teenagers wearing them.
Speaking of the white suit, do you know who ended up owning the white suit?
The original white suit?
Yeah.
No.
Gene Siskel.
Oh,
interesting.
Wow.
This was like his favorite movie of all time. And,
weird.
And when it went up for auction, he bought it.
I wonder how much he paid for it. You know,
I think he paid like a grand or something. Like
that's it?
In the 80s.
Oh.
And then I think he sold it before he died, maybe. And he got it like for like in the six figures.
Man.
Like, yeah.
It's you know, every once in a while, a Christopher Reeve suit will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I would love it. Just give me the cape. I don't even need the whole suit. Just give me that cape.
Just the crotch.
Just the belt.
Just the red underwear.
Just the red and the
underwear.
Belt. That's all I need.
You're like, these haven't been washed, right?
Wear them around the house.
So he goes to the party.
Yeah, he goes to the party.
Acts like a total tool on the balcony.
He's a dick to her. Yeah.
She's like, I invited you here because I wanted you here, and I'm not with anybody. He's like, you're hanging all over the director, and blah, blah, blah. She's like, it's a party, and I'm entertaining. Like, what are you doing? What do you expect from me?
Right.
Like, so, he expected she invited him to be her arm candy or something.
Exactly.
Like, what?
So he goes, and he leaves the party, goes to the club, and there's Jackie. And this is like, Leanne's like, is she crying? I'm like, no, she's not crying.
What?
And I was like, oh, she is crying.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. She's like singing a sad.
So emotional.
Sad song, and it's clearly she's upset about him standing her up yet again. And she knows it's with that girl
because
she saw them interacting.
And she breaks it off.
Yeah.
In his
good.
Butt.
I loved it when she finally stood up to him and said, you can't treat me like this anymore. And blah, blah, you,
but
you, it's a great, I mean, this is probably my favorite piece of dialogue because finally, because
there
jerk,
ain't a lot.
This jerk gets what's coming to him, though.
Yeah.
He needs to be told that he isn't going to get she says, I can't be second choice. You know, I'm not going to let you walk all over me. You've treated me like crap. We'll be friends. Nothing more, and walks away. I'm like, yes.
And immediately he's like, wait.
Right. It isn't until he realizes things aren't going to work with the other girl. Now he's going to turn around his life.
What do you, where? What? Oh.
It's like in Uncut Gems or like in any other movie where the guy's like, yeah, I'm going to leave my wife for this young thing or
whatever.
And then things don't work out. And it's like, give me a second chance. Like, yeah.
That
now
is
you
like,
want
I
a
love that
chance.
Scene where she laughs at him.
Oh, I love it. Again, that same exact kind of scene.
Except,
where the guy's trying to beg for a second chance.
Right.
And she's like, no, you're ridiculous. Yeah.
So now, you know, he's single. He goes, this is where I was like, so where does he live?
He's doing his laundry in the shower. I guess he doesn't.
No, but where's his mom's house? Is he in Jersey?
No, that was Brooklyn.
Okay. Because that's a hell of a walk.
It's either Brooklyn or the Bronx.
He walks from wherever club that is back home.
Yeah.
And this is the character turn.
I thought he said Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, either way, that's a hell of a walk. Yeah. Sits down with his mom, and his mom, you know, kind of gives him the pep talk.
And I like this too.
I like this scene a lot between him and the mom. And he's like, "Look,
but
I was."
If
a jerk
you see the first
you.
One, it's such a a course correction into how he interacts with his family and how his family interacts with him.
Okay.
Like, there's all sorts of scenes of them around the dinner table, like, yelling at each other and arguing. Yeah.
But I like that
she's... I work real hard on my hair, and then you hit it.
But she gives him this kind of tough love thing that I really liked, because he's acting like, now he wants to change his ways and be good because he's basically been denied of everything that he...
Two women.
Keeps screwing up. It's his fault. So he tries to turn things around. And he's like, you don't think I'm good enough, blah, blah, blah. And you think I'm just some D-bag or whatever, paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah.
Well, she says, she's like, if you like, that got you out of here.
Yeah.
That attitude got you out of this neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, I'll take this other piece of pie.
Yeah.
And so
I'm like, with that body, there's no way he's eating that much pie.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, no way he's eating two pieces of pie.
He has a ripped dancer's body. Yeah. I know they burn a lot of calories, but there is no fat on
him. It's laced with cocaine.
He is not eating two pies.
Yeah. So he finally,
he's eating two pies.
Yes, he is.
Yes, sir. They ain't made by his mother.
No, they're not. So he goes to like the rehearsal, and the one guy can't get it. Like, he can't get
he's too robotic.
Right. Yeah. So he talks to Jackie, and of course,
which is a shame, because like 2 years later, the robot is all the rage.
And RoboCop was coming out.
Yeah.
So he talks to Jackie, and finally Jackie agrees to meet him back at the studio that night. So he gets there, and of course he's...
Oh, these montages.
So
good. They're so
80s. So good, the montages. I want to point out one other thing. One of the dancers in the background in the opening scene in one of these other scenes?
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
I thought it was Patrick Swayze.
Way. Yeah.
They showed it was a quick picture. I was like, that was weird. That guy looked like Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
But that makes complete sense. Wow. Have you watched the movies that made us? Have you watched
docuseries?
Yet, no. The Dirty Dancing one... I was just like, it's the next episode.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, I love those series.
Like, it's like they talk about that scene where he's jumping off the stage.
Yeah.
His knee was destroyed. Like, he had had a football injury. So he's jumping off the stage. Like, he had to jump off that stage like 30 times. And on the last, he's crippled. Like, he's in so much pain. And finally, on the last one, goes to the director and goes, this is it. Either we get it now or we don't get it. And the director's like, okie dokie.
Yeah.
And apparently they hated each other.
Oh.
Is Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey.
Oh, yeah.
Hated each other.
Oh, holy cow.
From Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Hated each other. So it was just like, they wanted Sarah Jessica Parker and somebody else. Like, Patrick Swayze was the get, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, they had to fight for Jennifer Grey.
Huh.
Because there was not good.
But they get into this montage. It's so 80s. It's so Hearts on Fire.
It's so Rocky III.
Yeah,
Rocky
III. Right. Yeah.
You hired him for the montage.
Yeah. Frank Stallone walks in
even as they're doing the montage, like as it's building, and I'm like, it's going to go end opening night. Yeah.
Bam.
And
that's exactly
in the same way in Rocky III. It's end the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did love this part because I love 80s montages.
Yeah,
they're great.
At its finest.
And it's funny because I was live tweeting and I recorded because I wanted to get some footage of
your dog
of him dancing. My dog walked in the room and turned around and walked out. Just like, that Grandpa Simpson's clip from The Simpsons where he walks in the house and sees Bart and turns around.
It's the burlesque show. Yeah.
My dog literally walked in, looked at the TV, and immediately walked out,
thank you.
How did I capture that? It was hilarious.
So that he nails the routine. He gets back together with Jackie.
Yeah.
We didn't talk
about at first he almost quits because laugh at him.
We also missed my favorite line of the entire movie.
Same. I know exactly what you're saying.
Frank Stallone, not Sly. Oh. And they're talking, Travolta and Jackie are talking. Yeah. And Frank Stallone goes, are you okay? And then Tony says, yeah, she's in good hands. And the guy's like, what are you, Allstate? What, do you want a disability?
Yeah, you want a disability?
I lost my mind.
There are some lines.
Oh, my God.
I didn't write them down.
It's so good.
There are some lines in this movie.
That was my favorite part of the movie, was that one.
What,
do you want a disability?
He almost quits the show because he's a hothead, and he's like, no one laughs at me. Like, dude, you're trying.
Well,
he
goes. What happens is he goes in, the robot guy messes up. He walks to the director, and he's like, give me a shot. And yeah. he was like, all right,
they put
fine.
Tony in, who has no experience as a lead in Broadway.
And he almost drops the gal on her head. And everybody's kind of like, yeah. yeah. You know, so he walks out, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do this no more. He's yeah. like, where are you going to go? You're a nobody.
And I love it. The director's like, yeah, you don't need me, but I don't need you. So let's try to make this thing work. Like, you know.
Yeah. And then, so I do like, and this is a very rocky scene where Tony, it looks like that John Travolta is walking out the door and leaving. And I was like, I can see his butt. Like those pants are just like, whoop,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Split that yes. crack. Yeah. So then the thing starts, and then all of a sudden the door kicks open. He's like, yeah.
And he nails it,
of course. And then we go to opening night. And of course his mom's there. I guess that gal from the first movie is supposed to be there.
She's supposed to be there, but they cut her.
Yeah. And he destroys everything. Like
she has an empty seat next to her. So I think there's probably a moment where she comes and sits down and we're supposed to be like,
my son's in this show.
Yeah. yeah. And I'm like,
I like that line too.
It's
opening night. Like half the people in this audience are related.
The gal's like, yeah, my daughter's in this one. What's your point?
Yeah.
So of course he destroys it. Like it's a perfect, he does a perfect routine.
What's so stupid is that like, as he's doing this, like he's just winging it. He's just making stuff up on the fly, and people are like, you can't do that, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I like the
I
felt like the scene, what I thought was gonna happen is that he threw her and he was gonna blame her.
Yeah.
And then he was gonna be like, Jackie, let's like you and I do this thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? She fell down. I was just trying to improvise and do this. But he
like, you don't improvise dance.
Okay. I love what the director goes, I didn't tell him to do a solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just improvising all these dance moves in this Broadway show. But I have to ask you, when I watch this, I'm like, this doesn't seem like a Broadway show. This seems way too experimental and weird for Broadway. Like off Broadway, yes.
Yeah.
But would this really be, I mean, this is the time period where Cats and Phantom of the Opera, I'm just saying that was on Broadway.
Well, Phantom of the Opera was still a couple years away. But
this 80s time period.
Yeah, like stuff that was on Broadway at the time would have been like Brighton Beach Memoirs. And what else?
Not the Devil's Butthole.
La Cage aux Folles. Mame was on Broadway at this time.
This is a weird show. This is people in like dominatrix outfits with whips whipping him. Like,
and it was like, have these people ever seen a Broadway play?
Yeah.
Because like there's no speaking.
Right.
None. There's no song.
It's just dance.
It's just dancing.
Yeah, this is like when you just go to see a dance thing like Riverdance. Now, no offense to Riverdance, it's way better. But you know what I mean? That's I mean, they even sing in that show, but this is just a dance routine Broadway.
That's it.
So it made no sense the show is on Broadway.
The closest thing to this on Broadway at the time would have been the Tap Dance Kid.
Okay. All right. So he kills every performance. He throws the main gal across the room,
Laura,
and decides to go in on his own. And
believe it when he just threw her and then started.
And then he gets up on the podium. He's like, jump! And everybody's
God.
Like, you could tell, like Stallone was still like, we need a dramatic moment that it all hinges on.
And then they go to Jackie, jump!
Yeah, I was like,
I can't do it!
So I thought he was talking to Jackie.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, what's the audience's take on this, right?
Right.
Like, my
standing ovation
was when the star of the play is screaming jump at another person to try to entice them into doing a dance move.
Yeah.
Right. And then standing ovation, they acted like it was the most incredible performance
I've ever seen.
Now, I'll admit, I mean, that thing raising and her jumping and then him lifting her over one head.
It's impressive.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive.
But it's just so wackadoo to think that this audience is there to see this show on Broadway and they're just infatuated with his on the spot
giant penis. Because it is front and center.
They have to be wearing cups or something.
All of
them have big round bowls.
Yeah, they're
not
like
cod
pieces.
They look
like the cod pieces in Batman and Robin.
Right, right. They're round
still.
And they're the same, like, because you can't miss them. I mean, they're right there standing out, and they're all the same circular, like,
right.
Because I'm like, there's no way he's packing like that.
Yeah, he is a large man.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's amazing. Standing ovation. Yeah,
of course.
You know, the end of the play.
And then Laura comes up to him.
And he's like, I got to go.
Oh, right before they do that crazy move when he kisses her.
He kisses her,
like,
and she scratches him.
She scratches him.
Yeah.
and she's mad at him, and she's like, "You don't have it."
And then he's like, "I'll show you.
Yeah,
I'll show you. I got it."
Yeah, or whatever. She's mad at him, and then at the end, she says, "Hey, how about we get together later?"
He's like,
and
no.
He gives her the same line that she gave him.
I have a commitment.
That was actually what Jackie,
it was what Jackie
said to him.
Said to him, yeah.
He uses that line on her, and then she goes, "Well, you don't have it."
Yeah,
and walks away.
And then
boo hoo.
Yeah, and then he's like, she's like, and then Jackie's like, "Come on, we're gonna go." He's like, "No, I got something else I want to do."
Oh my god!
I got
then,
struck.
Yeah, I was like,
and then we get the staying alive down the street.
It was so ridiculous. I mean, especially, I get it. I haven't seen Saturday Night Fever, so I didn't know. I mean, I guess I know of that scene, but I'm not really familiar with it. And when he leaves to go do that, and then it freeze frames, and he disappears.
He disappears. Like, it's weird that he has two movies that are like that, like where the car takes off in the air in Grease, and then in this one where he just disappears into thin air.
I'm just like, what are we
doing?
Yeah,
that first scene is really iconic. And
I half expect him to be like raise his fist like Judd Nelson in Breakfast Club.
Isn't that kind of what Spider-Man's trying to do in Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
He's walking on the street. I mean, it's a
totally. You see lots of movies kind of riff on that.
Sure.
But it was like, you know, I think what really kills it is that he calls it right.
Yeah,
like,
I got a strut.
And then if it had just been like, I need to just need a moment alone.
Right.
And he walks down the street and he's strutting and the song starts. Like, I think it would have felt okay. It would have been like he's got that swagger back.
Right,
honestly, part of the problem with this movie, one of many, is it makes a mistake a lot of sequels do, which is they completely take away what made you like the first one.
Right.
And like part of what makes Tony endearing in the first one is the swagger.
Yeah.
And he's cock of the walk. And when he walks into a club, like the crowd parts because Tony's there and he's got none of that. And so while it's nice to see him get it back ish,
sort of,
but it's like for one, for them to like just put a big sign on it saying, "I'm going to strut now,"
instead
of just letting it happen.
And it also felt, it felt inauthentic. It didn't hit
because they called it. Like, I think if they had just left it alone and let him just do it, you'd have been like,
and they showed the feet, they showed his butt.
Right.
Like, they're just like, they're doing all these shots.
And it's more fan service.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I asked Tom, I was like, is this the first like fan service?
I'm sure there's other things.
I don't know.
I mean,
how many
replicate
sequels were there in 1970?
I mean, think about it. There weren't a lot of sequels yet. Sequels?
Sorry, I meant like homage, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But the deliberately calling back to a first movie to throw red meat to your fan base. This could be the first fan service.
I feel like in Superman, 78 Superman.
Okay,
when he looks at the phone booth. You know, like, I feel like the image of him changed.
But you're not directly, but...
No, the phone booth is definitely, like... A nod.
Right.
You know, it's a funny thing, because modern phone booths wouldn't work.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Like,
but you're not directly, like, pointing out things from a direct sequel. Like, you're paying... That's, again, I think, more of an homage.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, that's...
It's pretty close.
Him changing in a phone booth was pretty iconic.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the one that's like a half one. He's like, this isn't going to work. I'm going to go around this whirly door and change.
Yeah.
Don't roll your eyes. That's a great scene.
It is a good scene.
That's the best scene of that whole movie.
It's just funny. I know. It's just funny.
Hey, Jim, that's a bad outfit. Excuse me. But yeah, don't sleep on this movie. Like, that's if you got... It's fun.
If you love 80s, it is...
You are in, like, they draw you in and they hold on you the whole time.
And here's the thing. It was a hit.
How much money did this movie make?
It made $65 million domestic on a $22 million budget.
Okay.
And it made $127 worldwide.
That's a big hit.
So, I mean,
1983. Wasn't the other one $150 domestic, or was that worldwide too?
It was $139 domestic, $237.
So.
But absolutely,
I get it, yeah.
The original
wasn't what they hoped for, but it made money.
But it was the top 10 highest grossing film of 1983. Like, it was in the top 10. Like, it was, I mean, it made money. Like, it was financially, it was a success. The soundtrack sold 5 million copies.
That's like, a lot. I mean,
it's so
all I could think was
it did not approximate the original,
but
I mean, that's lightning in a bottle.
All I could think of was Norm Macdonald. Like, every time I saw him, I was like, you guessed it. Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, that was all I could think of every time I saw him. But yeah, it was, this is like, if you got
and it's only an hour and like 15 minutes.
It's
without
credits. It's 90, I think it was 93 minutes.
118.
Yeah.
Or an hour and 18 minutes is what Amazon clocked it in as.
Mine was like an.
Did they count the credits though?
Mine was an hour and a half.
Mine was an hour and a half.
Amazon listed mine. Well, I wonder if I had scenes missing. If Amazon, you don't need that scene. You don't have that scene. But yeah.
Mine was like an hour 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'd paused it. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
I paused it and I was already into the movie. But yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. It's on Vudu. Like, give it a go. Like, why not? It's, I think that How Did This Get Made did an episode on
really?
But I think it's like behind a paywall.
Okay.
So this is your only option is real spoilers.
I usually don't listen to the ones I haven't seen, kind of like people do with this show a lot of times, because I want to know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen it and I just skipped
over it. I think it's behind a paywall though. Okay. So.
And again, Saturday Night Fever.
It's on my list. I'll add it.
It is really good.
That's the video recovery.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, don't dismiss it.
Didn't have to go deep into the salt mines for that one.
But that's what's so weird about this movie is how lackluster the dance scenes are.
Yeah.
Compared to this gritty movie from 6 years prior. Yeah. Like, those, when it hits the club and you see the dance scenes, and it's not from a guy who made musicals or ever made another musical.
Sure, sure.
Like, the guy would go on to do War Games and Stakeout.
I was like,
and Bird on a Wire.
Well, he had
I like that
clearly
movie a lot. Bird on a Wire.
Yeah, it was but I mean, there's nothing else before or after that would indicate he would make a movie like that.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
And so it's
fun. I did not think I was going to enjoy this as much as I did.
Yeah.
And
it's one of those bad movies that's fun to watch.
This is a rare combo of a 0% project and a deep fried taco.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly
what
this is.
Two for one.
Yeah, two for one. So there you go.
So, well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content, and you get to help us out a little bit, and we appreciate that. So, that's it for this one. Coming up with the next one, a return to form. We will tackle the Invisible Man. How do you tackle him? He's invisible.
You throw water on him.
Is that what you do?
That's right.
Now he's wet and invisible.
No, now he's slippery.
I feel like you have to.
So you made him hard. He's still hard to see, and now he's harder to catch.
I think you have to spray him with like a fire extinguisher to where there's like a
throw paint on him.
Yeah, paint gun.
Yeah, there you go.
Paintball gun.
Yeah, that'll work. And those hurt.
Boy, if this movie ends with her shooting with a paintball gun.
They owe us some money because it wasn't done yet.
Yes, they're still filming it as we speak. So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Kira returns to the realm of the gods.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.